Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today is Dr. Larry Lesser. Dr. Lesser is a professor in the mathematics department, Department of Mathematical Sciences. But he's also a songwriter. He's also a musician, artist. And there's been a topic that has been very hot around the nation. Dr. Lesser was telling me a little while ago that for the first time since 1920, the New York Times has put their editorial on the front page and addressing this issue, and that's the issue of gun control. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. But first, we're going to find out more about Larry and who he is. Larry, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you, Louis. Good to be here.
As I mentioned, you are a professor of math here at UTEP. And some people might go, oh, my gosh, math, that is one of the hardest subjects I've ever taken, or, you know, people who do math really know their stuff. I just want to get through my elementary math or whatever and do something else. But you've been doing this you've been at UTEP for 12 years now. And so not only are you a math professor, as I mentioned, but you're also an artist, you're a musician and a writer. And you wrote a song specifically to address this topic of gun control. And we're going to hear from you in just a minute about that. But if you wouldn't mind sharing with us a little bit about your experience, have you always been interested in music since you were a child?
I have. I've been writing songs since college, and in fact, the year I started writing songs was the same year I became a math major, but it was another decade later where I started to integrate the two together. And so, yes, and I think UTEP right now, with all its focus on interdisciplinariness, is really encouraging creativity, and I found ways to bring my creativity into my scholarship, and it's led to some articles, it's led to grants, things like that. So, it's like people like Dr. Skateboard with the physics and the skateboarding. I mean, it's like, so I do math and music and song, and I'm not the only one doing this.
So when you're talking about using music and math, people would say, wow, that's interesting, and that would make math a lot of fun. So can you give us a brief example of what you've been doing in your classes?
Sure. I mean, because I know it's hard to believe math is so cool that some people would have anxiety about it, but unfortunately, a lot of people do. And so we're trying to humanize the classroom and make it lower the anxiety so that more learning can occur. And so there's lots of ways that I connect math and music to serve that end. One is by bringing in demos to show that the concepts of mathematics can be illustrated in the construction of instruments or properties of acoustics or the patterns in the composition of music, things like that. But then I also actually bring in math songs that I write or in some cases have students write. And that really is a way to help students recall the material. I mean, think about how you remember the ABCs. You have the ABC song, right? And so I have songs and jingles to help students remember math concepts so that the memory aspect is sort of taken out of it and they can focus more on higher order conceptual thinking.
It's interesting how much music plays a role in our lives. And a lot of people say, well, you know, music can be very nostalgic. It could be also, this time of year, the holidays, people will hear music, the specific songs, and, you know, they'll think about loved ones. They'll think about perhaps people who are no longer here. But as you mentioned, it's also a great learning tool because that's what Sesame Street used, a lot of singing, a lot of music to teach the children.
Schoolhouse Rock and all that.
Yes.
And like you say, the emotional quality of music is really important. There have been studies that show that if you just read someone information versus sing it to them, they will remember it better when it's sung because there's something about we pay attention more when emotion is involved and the melody in our voice and the harmony and all that. It all helps glue things together.
And it's interesting when the message gets across that way because sometimes people will be so entangled in the music and the beat sounds great. And it's not until they listen to the words carefully and they go, wow, that is a powerful message. And been singing it. And that's why in some incidents, parents have been told about, you know, be careful what your children listen to because have you heard those lyrics? And the child doesn't really know what they're singing about.
Right. Right.
So passionate about music, passionate about something else. And what we talked about earlier today is the issue of gun control. And that is something that has been a very passion-driven thing that has been talked about, pro and con. And, of course, here at the university, one of the biggest things is about concealed weapons and conceal and carry, which takes effect in 2016. You wrote a song specifically for this. Tell me a little bit more about this song, and then we're going to hear from it.
Great. Well, let me reframe slightly. For me, the ultimate issue isn't so much gun control, but reducing gun violence. And that's this important distinction to make, because I think both sides should be able to agree that we need to address gun violence. And various gun control laws may or may not be the answer. Campus carry may or may not be the answer. I think the answer needs to be bigger than either of those. But we're not having enough dialogue. It's just polarized rhetoric, and the open forums have been focused on just sort of logistical details like gun signs, gun lockers, gun exclusion zones. And I just can't wait until we can go beyond the logistics and beyond the rhetoric and actually have a conversation about the underlying issue and the causes of gun violence, because our society needs that.
And for the benefit of our listeners, we taped this on the day before the anniversary of when John Lennon was murdered, shot to death in New York. And, of course, John Lennon had written a lot of songs about peace and about, make sure that everybody gets along. And as you mentioned, right now it's both sides almost just screaming at each other and nobody's listening to what somebody has to say. Would you mind sharing that song with us?
I'd be honored to. Thank you. Here at college, we grow, we change, hone beliefs and knowledge from lively exchange. But there was a loner, I didn't know his name. Close to the vest, he kept his pain. They said where he grew up, you took a stand for honor, for rights, as a man. But he found no middle ground, acting out anger with every round. When the smoke clears, what will we allow? What will we do with what we carry now? Some say it played out from who had what on hand, with no trigger warning for that average-looking man. So what's the place of fear? Who carries blame? Who keeps our campus from its true aim? Lawmakers mourn this week's tragedy. They say these things happen that we cannot foresee. Flags fly half-mast, we bleach the blood away. From the auditorium of what was taught that day, when the smoke clears, what will we allow? What will we do with what we carry now? How do we carry on with what we carry now?
Thank you. Very powerful message there. And, you know, as you mentioned, as you were talking about this before you sang the song, the fact that it's not a matter of who is right or who is wrong, but the fact that, as the song says, there's no middle ground. And if both sides were to sit down and discuss, perhaps these are the options we have, or these are the options, instead of just saying no, no, no to each other, perhaps and that's what I interpret as what happened in this song, that the guy just got overwhelmed, the fact that there was no middle ground, he didn't know what to choose. How did you come about writing these words? Was it after we had witnessed the footage or of a shooting, or when they introduced the fact that carry and conceal was going to go through, or when you attended one of these town hall meetings that we had on campus?
So ever since I found out that the law was coming to UTEP, and I think that it was announced back in September, something like that? or August. So it's been on my mind because in addition to being a faculty member and therefore on the front lines of this, I'm also the half of my appointment is to direct the teaching center, CETEL, Center for Excellence in Teaching and Learning. And I found myself thinking a lot of faculty aren't necessarily going to know what to do when the law comes here. And some of them are kind of freaking out. Some of them are thinking they're going to have to teach really differently in certain ways. And we need to have some education and some training. And I'm glad to hear that that will be coming in the spring. CETEL will help provide some, but we'll also hear from the campus police, the counseling center, student affairs, other places like that. So it's been on my mind for a while. And my first draft of the song was much more of a kind of a strident anthem about it. And so the evolution of the songwriting really was paralleling my own process because my initial reaction was kind of freaked out, as a lot of faculty and students and staff perhaps also were. But I forced myself to go beyond that initial reaction and just start talking more to people, because that's what a university is supposed to be about, is encountering people of different views and different backgrounds and learning from them. And so once I talked to enough people, where I had talked to some people who are concealed handgun license holders, I realized that they actually commit crimes less often than the general public. So like they're not really the problem per se, you know, that the problem was bigger than this. There were bigger issues. And I started, you know, able to kind of move past that initial freak out and write a song that had more nuance to it and got to the more deeper level, the deeper sort of the sadness of the common tragedy of the gun violence, which hopefully all sides can agree that that's a problem and that that's a bad situation. And so the songwriting really mirrored my own evolution on this topic to a more nuanced position where I can hear both sides and see things that are valid in both sides.
Larry, I wonder if perhaps it's through social media and technology that we have now that we are hearing more about these shootings, about these mass killings, because killings have been going on forever. As long as we can remember, when we're taping, it's Pearl Harbor Day. And of course, a lot of men and women lost their lives in World War II. But the fact that if something happens in Colorado, if something happens in Australia or New York, we're going to hear about it immediately because of the technology and the social media.
And there are websites that keep track of shootings. And so I teach statistics. And so this is a great example to bring in real life data of, well, how do we define what a mass shooting is? Some people define it as, well, four more people killed. And other people say, no, four more people attempted to kill, you know. And so depending on how you define it, you get different numbers, right? And so their website, so depending on what definition you use, this happens about once a day or once a week, or, you know, I mean, the answer varies, right? But whatever it is, I hope we can all agree that it's happening more than it should.
And when it does happen, like you mentioned, it's one more person, one killing is too many. And the fact that El Paso is seen sometimes as the Old West and the gunfight city, but it's not like that anymore, where before you used to have people who would stand on the front of the saloon and draw. We watch that in the cowboy movies and all the westerns, but things are very different now. And the question is, are guns more accessible now? Or, as you mentioned, there are people who have licenses to carry weapons, and yet they're very, you know, quote, normal people. And then other people will say, well, what's normal? And the fact that there's even a site that keeps track of the shootings and the number of guns. And I saw recently, too, where the number of applications for weapons has increased 100-fold.
Well, I'm sure, because a lot of people are feeling like either to defend themselves or because they worry that restrictions are about to be instituted to keep them from buying their ammo, so they want to stock up now, that kind of thing. But you're right. What you're getting at is sort of the normalization of this. And I saw marketed online that for children, there's bulletproof blankets that they can have, you know, in elementary schools, so that if there's a shooter, they can hide behind their bulletproof blanket. I mean, it's just, oh my goodness, it's a real strange thing. I mean, so I'm thinking as a teacher, do I have a guns policy on my syllabus now? I mean, you know, is this as normal as makeup exams? I hope our society doesn't get to the point where it's totally normal, that we can really find ways to address this so that it, you know, we aim for something better than this.
Larry, as we wrap up the interview here, and people who heard the song might want to know a little bit more about you and about your music, do you have a website that people can go to?
The songs that I keep most active as far as an online presence, are actually my math songs. And if they just Google my name, Larry Lesser, they can get my website. It's, you know, Math a Musician. And I've got several songs up there that they can see in videos and things like that. As far as other songs, a few of my songs have been recorded by other artists, but I haven't made an album of my own since 1992. So I've been kind of busy with academia.
Well, we want to thank you very much for your service to the university and your service to our students. We want to thank you for that, and thank you for sharing that song with us. Again, we've been visiting with Dr. Larry Lesser. He is a professor in the Department of Mathematical Sciences, and he played for us the song, What We Carry Now?
What We Carry Now.
What We Carry Now. And it's a very powerful song, very powerful message. And again, as Larry mentioned, it's not pro this or con that. It's looking for the middle ground. And you can go online and you can Google Dr. Larry Lesser to find out more about his songs and also perhaps the lyrics to What We Carry Now. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Evan Walsh. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.